Last week, we jumped into our sermon series for this month, the month of November, on Thanksgiving. And we're looking at different themes of Thanksgiving, specifically in the book of Colossians. And our goal as we look at these themes is that our hearts would be filled with thankfulness and our hearts would be filled with gratitude, that God in us would cultivate a heart of gratitude. And if you noticed in that song that we just sang, it says, "He has made me glad." Isn't that awesome that it's God who makes us glad, that we are not the ones that have to come up with and find that gladness in our lives? We are not the ones that have to create that. God can create that in us. And that's what being filled with a heart of gratitude is all about, is being filled with thankfulness for who God is. And so I encourage you, as I encouraged last week, to spend some time in the book of Colossians. Maybe some of you have been able to do that this week. My challenge to you was to read through the book of Colossians every day this month. It might sound a little overwhelming at first, but it's really not. It doesn't take that long to read through the entire book. It's four chapters, four short chapters. It takes about 10 or 15 minutes, depending on how fast of a reader you are. I'm a slow reader, so it probably takes me more like 15. But take some time. Just take some time to be in God's Word daily. And what you'll see as you read through the book of Colossians, you can't do it every day. I challenge you to do it three times per week, just to sit down and read through it. But what you'll see as you read through it, you'll see different themes in each chapter on Thanksgiving, themes of gratitude. And what you'll also see as you go through it is that that Thanksgiving and that gratitude is found only in Christ and only found in relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where all thankfulness, that's where all gratitude comes from. That's how we can be filled with a heart of gratitude. How can we be filled? How can we be filled? And what is a heart of gratitude? Being thankful is more than making a list of things that we're thankful for. It's really not that hard when you think about it. It's not that hard to start a list of things that you're thankful for. As you sit around the Thanksgiving table, or if you want to just sit down at some point and just start jotting down things that you're thankful for, maybe at first, like, okay, you got to think a little bit about it. But once you get going, you can start to make a list. And it's really not that hard. But being thankful and having a heart filled with gratitude is so much more than just simply a list of things that we enjoy, simply a list of things that we're grateful for. Having a heart filled with gratitude is something that God fills us with because of His love, because of His faithfulness, and because of His grace and mercy. Last week, in our first theme, that Thanksgiving is a response, that was what we looked at last week in Colossians chapter 1. A response to the grace and mercy and love of God. We looked at a verse in James that says, every good and perfect gift is from above, from our Heavenly Father. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We give thanks to God for who He is, first of all, and His steadfast love for us. That's what it says in Psalms. We see that over and over and over again in the book of Psalms, giving thanks to the Lord for His steadfast love, for He is good. Giving thanks for who He is and giving thanks for what He has done for us, and specifically through what Jesus Christ has done for us when He came to this earth and died on the cross for our sins. And today we're looking at another theme of Thanksgiving in Colossians chapter 2. And this is a phrase that says, abounding in thanksgiving. We're going to look more at what abounding in thanksgiving means in Colossians chapter 2. And so let's take a look. I want to read for us Colossians 2, 6 and 7. It's just two verses that we're going to be looking at today. But there's a lot packed in these two verses. And I want us to actually read these two verses together. And as we do, we see that theme of thanksgiving come to the forefront. Let's read together. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you speak to us, that you meet us right where we are. And I thank you that for every person here, that you use your word in ways that we can't even comprehend, and everyone's coming with different needs. Everyone's carrying different burdens. And we thank you that your word is so powerful that it meets us right where we are, and we pray that you would move powerfully through your word today as we take a closer look. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So abounding in thanksgiving. Some versions say overflowing with thanksgiving. And in the physical sense, we can kind of comprehend an abundance or something that's abounding, something that's overflowing. Maybe you think of picking fruit. Maybe you go out to a you-pick field and you pick some blueberries and you've got your buckets full of blueberries. And if you're abounding in blueberries, those blueberries maybe are kind of falling out of your bucket as you're carrying them along. Or maybe in the heavy rains here in the rainy season in Camarillo, you drive over the bridge of the Cayugas Creek and you see that creek bed just gushing with water, an abundance of water. And we can picture abundance with something physical. But what about thanksgiving? What is the Apostle Paul here talking about? Abounding in thanksgiving. How does a person abound in thanksgiving? I want to give a little picture of what this might look like. And there's a video that's going to come up here in just a second, but there's a video that went viral on Facebook the last 10 days since Halloween. A lady named Leslie Hodges posted this video on Facebook, and it's gone viral, and she said this about this video. She said, I caught this on our Nest camera, the camera that was facing their porch. And this has got to give hope to everyone that there are still amazing people in this world. What a selfless act from this little guy. Kudos to his parents. And so take a look. Is he a giver or a taker? In that case, he was a giver. But what you notice in that is that in order for an abundance to flow out of him, there had to be something there to begin with, right? That this boy's Halloween candy bag was already filled, maybe not filled up to the top. Maybe it wasn't overflowing, but as he came and saw that bowl was empty, he gave, really, out of being filled. And as we think about having an abundance of thanksgiving or being overflowing with thanksgiving, we've got to be filled first, don't we? We can't have an abundance. We can't overflow until we're actually filled. And in this passage, Colossians 2, 6 or 7, we're going to see three sources. We got to go back to the source. When you see an abundance, it's kind of like, well, where is this coming from? Where is it coming from? We're going to see three sources of a heart overflowing with thankfulness. And the first source is a life rooted in Christ. These really are straight from the text here this morning. A life rooted in Christ. It says, verse 6, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And verse 7, rooted and built up in him. And the Apostle Paul right here is reminding the believers in the city of Colossae, the Colossian believers, he's reminding them that when they first came to faith in Jesus Christ, they were rooted in Christ. They were planted in Jesus as they came to accept and to receive, as it says, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, they were planted. And it doesn't stop there. He's saying now, be rooted, continue to be rooted in Christ, rooted and built up in him. You can picture roots right now, and I want you to think of a plant or a tree. Think of those roots down into the ground. And part of what roots do as they grow and as they're established in the ground is they provide security for a tree or provide security for a plant. But what happens to roots if they are not fed? If those roots do not soak up the nutrients that they need? See, part of being rooted, part of having your roots grow down is not just simply to have the roots there, but those roots continue to need something. A few years ago, in our first home that we owned, we ran into an issue where our kitchen sink was backing up, the drain was backing up. And so we had to get it checked out, and in the process of getting it examined, they sent a camera scope down into the drain to see what is clogging this drain. And what we found out is that the drain went down into the basement of the house, and we don't have basements here in California, but we had a basement where our house was in Minnesota. But the drain went down into the basement, and then it went under the basement floor, and then it went over and attached to the main drain of the house, where it then went outside the house and out to the street. Well, what we found out in the process is that as they examined it, what they found was that part of the section of that pipe that was under the ground had rotted out, and there were holes in it. And so it wasn't the holes that were stopping the water. They found out that there were tree roots that had found their way to find those holes, and not simply just to find the holes, but to find the water that was seeping out of those holes. Think about that. Imagine we had this big tree out in our front yard. Imagine that, though. The roots of that big tree, it was a big silver maple. Those roots went down so far, they went under not just a slab, they went under the basement floor to find the water where that source of water, any source of water that they could find. And that's a picture of what our roots should do as we are rooted in Christ. Paul's talking again about the importance of not just having those roots, but allowing those roots to soak up whatever nutrients that we need. It's a beautiful picture for our spiritual lives, is that always, constantly, we need to be soaking up the Lord and whatever he wants to give us in his word and in fellowship with one another, and the spiritual blessings, the daily forgiveness of sins that we receive from him. Because if our roots dry up, what's going to happen to our spiritual lives is that just like a tree is going to be compromised in its strength, possibly blow over in a storm, if our roots are not strengthened, if our roots are not soaking up the nutrients that we need, the same will happen to us. So first, being rooted and established in Christ. Established. The second source that we see is a life that's built up in Christ. Not only do we see rooted, but it says, built up in him. Verse 7. So we just saw the example of roots or a plant, of a plant or a tree. Now we see an example from construction. A life that has received Christ as the Lord is a life that is built on a firm foundation. We talked about this several weeks ago in our series on spiritual growth, the foundation of God's word. But a life that is built on a firm foundation is a life that is built on a trusted structure to keep building upon, that we build upon. And like a building getting higher and higher as it nears completion, are we ever to stop building? In our spiritual lives, we're never to stop building. We continue building upon the foundation that God has given us. Continue to build upon his word. In our finite minds, it's hard to comprehend this, isn't it? Because see, we want to see projects come to completion. But our spiritual growth here on earth is never complete. It's never complete. God is not done with us. How many of you have to see a project done to completion? Like you just, it's just going to hang over your head if it's not done. You just got to get it done. You got to get it just right. Otherwise, it's going to bother you. That doesn't work with our spiritual lives. That project is ongoing. But that ought to give us motivation as well to continue in that project. Because God is not done with us. Our spiritual growth here on earth is never complete. One author I heard say, God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way because he wants you to become more like Jesus. And that's the picture that we see here, a life built up in Christ. In Philippians 1:6, here's the hope and assurance that we have and the comfort that we have in this. Philippians 1:6, it says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ." And so while we never stop building here on earth, this is the hope and assurance that we have, that this project that God is doing in our lives will be complete one day, and he will bring it to completion. He will do it. Bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. There is an end, but the completion is not up to us. God calls us to continue building. Love the California weather, but and that nice cool breeze, but not when it blows my notes around. So don't stop building. Don't stop building. The third source that we see is a life established in faith. So rooted, built up, and then now a life established in faith. It says, established in the faith as you were taught. We see here now the result. What is the result of roots that grow deep and soak up nutrients? And the results of something that continues to build, a life being built upon Christ, what happens? Our knowledge grows. Our understanding of Christ is strengthened. And our faith is continually confirmed. I don't know about you, but I've had seasons in my life where my faith has felt so weak. Where I've struggled with that. We're struggling that, especially through my high school years, that this whole idea of faith in Christ and what he's done for me, and even having assurance of salvation, knowing for certain that I have eternal life, sometimes my own intellectual faith would waver. Many times. But what I've learned over the years, as my roots have gone deeper, and have soaked up the promises of God's word, the promises of forgiveness of sins, that faith has been strengthened. That faith has been established. Not because of what's up here in my mind. Not because of my own intellect. But because of his promises. Because his word says it. That's where my faith lies, is in God's word and in his promise. It's the only way that we can have sure and certain faith is through his promises. And so as our roots grow down, as we are built up, and as our faith is established, we become more firmly convinced that nothing else will save us. That there is hope in nobody else. That there is assurance in nothing else but in the promise of God and what he has said. And maybe you're wondering now, as we think about these sources of an abundance of thanksgiving or overflowing with thanksgiving, maybe you're wondering, what in the world does this have to do with thanksgiving? What in the world does this have to do with a heart filled with gratitude? It has everything to do with thanksgiving. It has everything to do with gratitude, because our gratitude, our abundance of thanksgiving flows from a life established and rooted and grounded in Christ. It's the only way we can be thankful. That's the only way we can be filled with gratitude, is through a life that's rooted, built up, and established in faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I've got a picture up here. There we go. This is Emily. Emily and I grew up in the same community. We grew up in the same church. Our families are good friends. I've known her almost my whole life. She's a few years younger than me. Emily passed away this past Monday of brain cancer. She had been fighting a battle for about 10 years when she was first diagnosed, had her first brain tumor. That tumor was removed, and there were seasons where she was in remission and other seasons where she was getting more treatment and where tumors had come back. She had multiple surgeries throughout the past 10 years. The cancer had come back recently and was to a point where they couldn't do anything else. But Emily, and some of you actually knew Emily because Emily went to the Bible College in Minnesota where several people here went. Anyone that knew Emily remembered that Emily lived these verses that we're talking about here today. That she was a person who was abounding in thanksgiving. She just had that joy about her. She just loved people unconditionally. And she was just a joyful person to be with, abounding in thanksgiving. When I hear this, I think of Emily's life, because her life exuded joy. It exuded thanksgiving. She's holding a sign here. It says, God is stronger. That was Emily's theme throughout her entire journey of cancer. That God is stronger. And every surgery that she went into, every prayer request that she threw out there, that was her theme. She said, God is stronger. And there was part of that that believed, yes, God has the power to heal. She does. And God healed her many times. And she had faith that God could do that. But part of what this theme meant was that even if God doesn't heal, even if that cancer returns, even if it gets to the point where there's nothing else they can do, God is still stronger. This is what her husband wrote as he announced on social media that Emily had passed just this past Monday. Psalm 116:15. said, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Said, "Emily passed into the loving embrace of her Lord and Savior at 5:38 p.m. Her faith became sight as she finished the race marked out for her. She was a bright light that reflected the true light of Christ to everyone around her. Our family is saddened and heartbroken. She leaves behind her husband and two small children. But we are thankful that her suffering has come to an end as God makes her new. We cling to the promises of Christ just as Emily did. Jesus said, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die.'" John 11. He said this, "Indeed, God is stronger than the grave." God is stronger. He is still stronger. I had a chance yesterday to watch the memorial service, which was live streamed. It was such a blessing to be able to watch that. But the part that really hit me during that memorial or the funeral service was when the congregation sang a song that was so close to Emily's heart. It was a praise song from the last probably 15 years. "Blessed be the name." And it talks about, it comes from the story of Job, where Job lost everything, lost his family, lost all his possessions. But what did Job say? "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And that song says, "Blessed be your name in a land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name." Then it says, "Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name." And then there's a part of the song too where it says, "You give and take away. You give and take away. Yet my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name." That was her testimony. That was her family's testimony. Now, how in the world is it possible? How is it possible to give praise and thanksgiving, to have a heart that is overflowing with thanksgiving in such devastating circumstances? This is how it's possible. It's possible only through being rooted and built up in Christ and established in the faith. Established in the faith. A faith that says God is stronger because God says he's stronger. God is stronger because I know that I have a sure hope that one day I will be in eternity forever with him. Psalm 21, 6 through 7. This is David. David speaking this same confident faith. He's talking about the king. He says, "For you make him," the king himself, "for you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved." He shall not be moved. And when our roots grow down deep, and as those roots are strengthened, and as we build upon the foundation of God's word and build upon the foundation of a life in Jesus Christ, we will not be moved. God is stronger. God is stronger. And as we view the spiritual blessings that God gives us, as we view it from a perspective of a constantly growing faith, a faith that is rooted, goes down deep, soaks up what God wants to give us, that's when our hearts then can be filled with thankfulness. Our hearts can be filled with gratitude, a true thankfulness and a true gratitude. Because here's what we often do when we're faced with just tough circumstances, when we're going through a week where we're discouraged, something's just really got us down, we've received hard news or just facing the challenges of whatever it is in your family or your work or your future or whatever it might be. Here's what we tend to do. We tend to go and find something that's going to help us feel better. We tend to go find a Band-Aid to put over that discouragement. We tend to go and treat ourselves to something special. Or go out and spend some money. That's what we do. Because we think it's going to help us feel better. And it might temporarily make us feel a little happier, a little more joyful. But a heart that is truly abounding in thanksgiving, that whatever your life is filled with, what comes out, if it's thanksgiving, if it's praise, that's a heart that's filled with the blessings from God. And a heart that is filled and has a confident hope, a confident hope. And you know that dreaded verse, give thanks in all circumstances. How do we give thanks in all circumstances? This is the only way it's possible. Abounding in thanksgiving, what's the source? Where does it come from? Being rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught. And then, what happens? An overflow, an abundance. Thanksgiving is poured out because we're thankful that our hope is not in ourselves, but in Him. In Him. So as you go today, go ready and willing to be rooted and established and soak up all that God has for you and wants to fill you. And let that be your source of thankfulness, your source of gratitude. Let's pray.